He became famous as a child star in the 70s on The Partridge Family. Now he's known for his bad behavior.
He's the guy who punched Donny Osmond in the nose.
Former child star has a lot of good advice to give the young one.
He's also managed to surprise us by his inexplicable ability to remain alive.
Tonight, Danny Bonaducci.
Danny Bonaducci!
Danny Bonaducci?
Danny Bonaducci!
Danny Bonaducci?
Danny Bonaducci!
Danny Bonaducci! Danny
Bonaducci. The Danny Bonaducci Show.
I'm conflicted. Good morning, everybody. It's 531-94 WYSP. I'm Danny. That's he is Metro, and I am conflicted. Well, I mean, it's like, theoretically, I had a really good weekend. So it's like saying, hey, remember I told you I was going to go ask Becky from accounting out? Boned her. And then went down to the Jersey Shore. One. Of course, my mom and my sister were killed in a car accident. Swallowing all the weekend's kind of a wash. That's kind of how I feel. On a personal level, I did kind of fine. But my team and my sports teams and my city, I'm assuming, is in mourning this morning.
Mm.
Are you going to grunt at me all day? What is that new thing
true.
You're doing?
It's all true. I don't have any words for this weekend. My weekend, not quite as good.
Not quite as good?
No.
He's not getting called Les or John or Getty this morning, and you are.
What?
You apparently are the next in line to tour with The Who and Led Zeppelin. And
is this ramblings on of maniacs or things that are on the magic box? What?
Word around town is that while the rest of us were mourning, you were awing people on the stage.
Thank you, but untrue. I was giving out the scores while I was on stage, and we were winning while I was on stage.
Maybe if you had stayed on stage the whole time.
Sure couldn't have gone worse. I did. I went up on Saturday night, and when first thing I said was the F word. I just had to get that out of the way. Second thing I said is
really? For the family-friendly show?
Yeah, that's what I said.
F does not stand for family-friendly.
No, I'll give you my exact first shows in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, how you could miss it with the last week around here. I'm so glad, essentially, of talking about the repercussions of it. It is over, and we won't be hearing those songs and stuff. So I did the opening thing for David Katz, and I played the bass. But before I did that, I did like 20 minutes of comedy. As a matter of fact, they gave me the light, the red light, says you've done 20 minutes to keep the show on time. It's not like an insult of any time. It means you've done real well, but here's the light. It's time to get off so they can have the intermission. Dave can start on time. They're well-timed things. But I'm very excited, and I don't see any red light. And coincidentally, it's kind of a fun, nostalgic thing to talk about David and his heyday and stuff. And I said, someday if David turned off his aura, we'd all go blind. Well, at that point, Amy had just told him, Danny's never going to notice a little red light. Shut the spotlight off. And the place goes dark. As I say, if David just turned off his aura, it would blot out the sun. And the stage goes dark. And I'm going, no sound, no light, guys, that clever. Somebody told him to do that. That was really cool. So, yeah, but while I was still on stage, the Phillies were winning. And then I did, in fact, watch the demise of the...
So you watched the end of the game while David was performing?
No, there was no place to watch those. Like, it's a...
Oops, sorry.
I thought the president was about to say something. So anyway, the first joke was, I went out on stage and I said, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a long time coming. I just want you to know that David has asked me to take my... my comedy act to make it more family-friendly, because it's a family-friendly audience. So I took my 45-minute comedy act, condensed it into 20 minutes, cut out all the dirty parts, and, well, I'm effed. Just like that. Those were my first... got a decent laugh, and then I promised I wouldn't talk like that anymore.
So did you have, like, a curse-free show?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, because really, I also had a joke-free show, which is probably not a really good thing for... I mean, I sat... Mostly Amy. She can do it better than I can. I can't write jokes. I talk. Like, two guys walk into a bar... And they get really drunk and hopefully pick up chicks and go home. I don't know what's so funny about that. It just sounds like a great day to me. But so she was trying really hard. And then I just went out and just started telling stories, and people seemed to like them. And, you know, they're there for that crowd anyway. They're specifically me and David. How can we lose as long as I don't just burst into flames? So I thought I did very well, but I gave out the scores. And then even in the car home, because these guys aren't, the Phillies aren't from, the musicians aren't from Philly. They fly in. So, like, I don't know, they were all jazzed up and talking about that stuff. And when I got home and found out we had lost the game, I went, that's going to so overshadow my goodness and greatness and my good feelings of having wild, crazy, I'm a rock and roll star sex. Because that's what I had planned on.
Because Amy has become such a big sports fan as well that she was just too cranky to...
Well, there's a weird thing there. There's a very weird thing there. You know what a fathead is?
Yeah, it's one of those giant, giant things you put on your
they're
wall.
They're not giant if they're already supposed to be Jason Wirth.
They're, so it's just life size.
Yeah. Okay, apparently he might be a free agent, and then we might not be able to keep him.
Right.
She wants to start a fund and stuff. She's, like, crazed. But then, before she told me that, I was showing David just to be funny, because you guys know me, I'm weird. Not to be funny, just, I don't know, we're standing in my dressing room, we weren't really doing a lot, and I said... Well, don't worry, I'm wearing my lucky Hulk underwear. And I was just putting on my pants anyway. And he goes, what? And I showed him, and I was wearing the Incredible Hulk underwear, and it says next to my Who's It, so you don't want to see me mad, which I thought was really funny. And he goes, well, I've got to wear these. And he pulls Dave Cassidy and I in a small dressing room with our pants down, and he shows to show how stretchy they are and cozy they are. But I'm not in my heels yet, so I'm the same size as David Cassidy. Amy's in her heels looking down, and sees Cassidy Who's It's, full-on Cassidy Who's It's. Wow. All of a sudden, this little crush, apparently she's never had on David Cassidy, like other normal girls, comes flying into fruition when she sees little Cassidy Jr., or Elvis, or whatever the hell the guys of that stature call their wangs. But now she's got a fat head of Jason at our house and wants to start some sort of fund. Jason Worth needs a relief fund. And now all she wants to do is talk about David Cassidy's wiener. I'm going, do you understand that Philadelphia, as we know it, is going to be in mourning this morning? But she was up and watching the concert shows or videos on YouTube and stuff, apparently.
Of David Cassidy?
Well, I was in there, too. I was in those pictures. You know, we were both there. But, of course, I was the one dressed in the geek suit. I thought it'd be really funny. I did my comedy in a Phillies T-shirt and my jeans and a pair of boots. But when I came out and joined him for the song, I was dressed in a really awkwardly fitting Partridge Family suit.
No, you wore the velvet?
I wore the whole thing.
Yeah, you said you were going to.
I wore the whole thing. Went out there, and he couldn't talk for like 5 minutes. He stared at me, and he'd go to talk, he'd go...
So what does he wear? Just regular modern clothes.
Yeah. So he laughed at that. Then I thought it would be funny is during the break where he talks, I took it off, and I was just wearing the vest, no shirt. So I'm all tatted up. And then I went, like leaned back to back, like we were the Glimmer Brothers, and then rocked out, doesn't somebody want to be wanted? And at that point, as far as I knew, the Phillies were still winning, and life was good, and chicks were screaming, and life was great, and his assistant had huge boobs. Oh, did I mention that?
So, but you were, I mean, the song went off without a hitch?
Yeah,
without
like you
hitch,
played really
without
well.
Without a hitch. I went there, the music director guy, I went up to him, and I said, hey, we did the Today Show, and David drinks. Like, really nervous, is saying, hey, can you really pull this? Like, can you play the song or not? And he goes, I don't know if you were nervous or you were playing or David was playing, because we only played it twice. And he just put my guitar down and attached a radio thing to it so I wouldn't have to have a chord. I said, no, you're done. You're fine. You've got the song backwards and forwards. It's perfect. So David was either just being an ass or I got really nervous.
Right.
One of two. But yeah, oh, it came in.
So the rumors were true that you kicked ass.
What rumors? You didn't hear any rumors.
You are better than Les Claypool and Geddy Lee and John Paul Jones all wrapped up in one.
Does Geddy Lee play bass too?
You could join Rush, my friend.
There you go.
There we go. Well, if I could replace Geddy, I'd do it.
Live from 4th and Market, it's the Danny Bonaducci Show on 94 WISP, the rock you grew up with.
What are you on TV?
It's just about 5:45 in the morning. I'm Danny, that's East Metro. Hey, remember the other day, a stalker of mine, and I have said on more than one occasion, you have not arrived until you have at least one stalker.
Yeah.
She came in, we introduced her. You thought she was kind of cute and harmless till she started doing weird stuff.
She was okay at between 6 and 8, and then all of a sudden, she started giggling and screeching and cackling and rolling on the floor.
What walk is this? It's from a movie or something. Oh, it's a thriller.
Yeah,
she's like doing a thriller, like, evil dance. The forbidden dance.
Yeah, she turned into a gremlin. Somebody fed her.
And then she started to make the weird squeaky sounds. Well, this morning, she was kind enough to send me a postcard from my own city. It's a postcard in Philadelphia, essentially taken from right out in front of my house. It's taken from Canada and over, and you can actually see my house in the photograph. Of course, she, I hope, doesn't know that. She may. I haven't had time to read it yet.
Yeah, are you sure she's not in your house
right now? I just want to thank you for letting me know. Letting me be on the radio. I'm hurting so bad, uh-oh. Every time I see you, I have so much to say, and I guess I set myself up for the fall. Oh. I think we might be breaking up. Hang on, Gutsman. I didn't know that. I didn't have time to read this morning. I set myself up for the fall. I haven't been this upset in years. The feeling and just hit me like a brick. It's very hard to read. Stuck her head right here. I have always, I'm going to go with always on this, want to tell you so much, and we have never gotten to sit down. I hope that I didn't upset you at your show. I thought I would talk to you some more. I had a great time. Maybe someday I will get up to meet up with you. I hope to see you after the concert. Didn't we do all those things?
I don't think you guys had a one-on-one. I think she wanted a little alone time with you to tell you how she really feels.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Kathy Gunterman. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Danny. How are you?
I'm well. Are you sad?
Well, I was very upset after the show Friday because I really wanted to sit down and talk to you in person. And that's why I cried all night Friday night.
Now, I'm sorry. Did you notice anything else going on around you when you were standing outside?
It was me. I guess I put myself...
No, but I'm just wondering when you wanted to sit down and chat, and I came out that stage door, if you noticed anything else going on around you.
No.
There weren't any cars there?
No.
There were no cars?
No.
How do you suppose I got home, Kath?
You flew on your...
Okay, so if you're going to be crazy, I'm not talking to you.
No.
Did you notice there were cars waiting for me with people screaming and yelling, get in the car?
Yes,
Did you notice all those people with signs yelling for David and flipping out?
Yes.
Where did you think we were going to have this sit down?
I thought after the radio show we could sit down and talk. And that's what I was thinking. And... That was where I was upset.
Okay, now, I like a good stalker, I really do, but here's the thing. You left at 9 o'clock when the show was over so we could work on the next day's show, right?
Right,
so when I leave on my motorcycle 2 hours later, imagine my surprise when I see you still standing here.
Yeah, I know. So when you
went downstairs, she was still waiting for you.
Yes. So is that when you thought we'd have a sit down after I'd been here since like 3 in the morning and 11 in the morning? I was going to get home. Do you think I'd say, oh, well, Gunterman, let's get some lunch?
Yes.
Okay, well, I can see how that could have happened, although I did have things to do that later that day, but I can see... how somehow you thought during either between the radio show and whatever else I was doing that night and practicing the next night and things like that, that you and I were going to have a sit down and a meet in the flying wheelchair. But, and if you're disappointed, because I know you flew all the way in from Chicago, are you still in Philadelphia?
Yes, I am. I'm taking the 6:49 flight out.
6:49 a.m.?
Yes.
Oh, bummer. I wanted to have a sit down with you.
Darn.
I had it scheduled in. It's in my planner.
Right, Daddy.
Well, they can change flight information. Shut up.
Okay. You want to pay for my flight to stay on? I'll stay on till tomorrow.
Hey, Kathy, what didn't you get from Danny when you were here on Friday? I mean, what do you need to talk about?
I thought in between, when he went on commercial or he went out to have a smoke break, I could sit down and talk to him.
But you spoke to him all morning. What hasn't been said?
I was terrified of him. I thought he was going to beat me over the head.
Oh, okay, now, even more reason to have some one-on-one time together.
That's true. I was about to defend myself, but I was going to go, with you guys were here the whole time.
Yeah.
Did I give any indication? Matter of fact, wasn't I the only one to protect her and go, no, she's really not dangerous, but let's not lead her down the crazy alley?
Yes, you did.
No, I took care,
I coddled you like you were a child of my own that I would have had put down at birth.
I wanted to hear more stories about the flying wheelchair. And you said no.
Because I don't want you to appear crazy. I want you to appear like a very nice little girl. So if you were
trying to be.
And if you were disappointed in any way, the next time I play on stage live with David Cassidy, I would like you to not only come to the show, but sleep in my home or hotel room.
I'd like to be in your house first.
All right, the next time I play live on stage with David Cassidy, which will be most likely in Vegas, you will sleep over the night in Philadelphia and go through my drawers. Okay?
No. I really want to just sit down and talk to you. I've never gotten to sit down and talk to you personally.
That's not true. I know everything about you. You know what you are? You're dangerously close to a normal chick. There's just no pleasing you. How many other chicks have come up here for no reason and sat through the whole show and just hung out and then come and played with me at a thingamabobber and then talk to me after the show? Where you insulted my pants, by the way. Don't think I forgot that. Here's our one-on-one time. Don't you ever change your pants? You must be filthy. Because I wear the same dragon jeans on stage. They're like my good luck jeans, so those are the ones I do comedy in.
Okay.
Don't you ever change your pants?
Kathy, you called him out on his outfit.
Well, every time I do see him, I see him in those same jeans. And I thought, well, maybe he's got 10 pairs of them.
So that's quality one-on-one time with you, huh?
No.
Let's sit down and discuss the fact that I'm filthy, unhygienic, I have flying wheelchairs, and by the way, I've just spent the whole morning with you and the whole evening with you. I've gone out with girls that I've had less interaction with than you.
And I was there from 5:15 until 7 o'clock when you finally put me on the air. And I was kind of just hoping in between things you could have sat down.
There is no in between things, Kathy.
But, you know, between all the downtime we have, Danny, just all the time we have relaxing, sitting around doing nothing between 5:30 and 9.
I should have been romancing the stone with Gunterman out in the hallway, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, next time I will give it a better try. Okay, Kathy? And really, the next time I play live on stage with David Cassidy, you can spend the night in my hotel room. And we'll have all the one-on-one time you want, okay?
Yeah, right.
No, I promise you.
Do that. Next time I come to Philly, you will do that, right?
No. I have to be playing live with David Cassidy somewhere. Otherwise, I'd rather not see you anymore.
Aw, you don't want to see me no more?
No, of course I do. I love you, Kathy. It's just I don't want to lead you on. It's not you, it's me. Anyway, Gutman, you are a true and faithful stalker, and I appreciate your time. And if for some reason 20 of my 24 hours of my day spent with you wasn't enough time, I'm really sorry, but you got to keep your original stalker, so God bless you there. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Kathy Gutman.
94 WISP.
The Rock.
You grew up with.
Well, I've told anybody who would listen that my biggest fear is getting a new listener the day we're talking about the Partridge Family.
Right.
Like they're for sure, they're going to tune in, and I'm going to say, hey, it's WISP. Do you know I used to be on a TV show? Hey, let's talk about that. And back in high school, I knew a baseball player. He could throw a speedball by and make it look like a fool. Glory days. Yeah, that's my biggest fear. So he's going to tune in and go, so that's what this guy does? He plays his own theme song, which I don't do.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
this weekend.
This is for reason. This was the first time that you played with David Cassidy. You were at the Keswick Theater. It was a local show.
It's not like John and Paul got back together or any of the other apostles. It's not that big of a deal.
It was a big deal. Now tell us how it went,
David. Well, I will tell you, it was a big deal that what we find, you know, we're going up against the Phillies. If you, I don't like the way that sounds.
Well, I felt bad.
I expected an empty house. I flatly expected an empty house.
But it wasn't.
I tried. No, there's at least 1,000 people there.
Wow. Awesome.
At first, I kind of thought Cassidy's out of his mind. These tickets are really expensive. But I guess his followers follow him, and that's that. The funny thing is, so the comedy part went really well.
So you opened up the show with 15, 20 minutes of your comedy routine.
Oh, I think I went a little longer than that, because they started shining all sorts of different colored lights at me, and I just thought, oh, cool, they think we're at a dead show. so I just kept going until they actually shut off the lights for a second. I went,
oh, you weren't taking the cue?
No, because I have never seen one of those red lights at all. When I'm doing stand-up comedy, and even if I'm the headliner, if there's two shows, you've got to be off by a certain time so they can empty the club, clean the tables, and then reseat the next show, right? I have never once seen one of the red lights because I just kind of go. Kind of like this radio show. I just go and hope for the best. And so I've never seen one of the little red lights that signal that you should get off. I guess that's polished comedians that have been doing the same act for 20 years are common enough to notice a little tiny red light somewhere that says get off. So I usually tell the announcer guy who said, hey, come on, ladies and gentlemen, Danny Bonaducci, when time comes, if he flashed me the light twice and I don't get it, just get on the microphone and go, dude, your time's up. Get off the stage. And I'll say goodnight. So that's what Amy said to do, but they wouldn't listen. They were all afraid. So they just made the house dark for a second. But the comedy, I would say, A, went great. B, let me also say this. Thank you so much for coming. I really did fully expect an empty house. And NBC was there and stuff. Because for some reason, the two members of the Partridge Family, 40 years later, being on stage together caught some attention. The funniest part is, I think it's up on YouTube, but we'll have all the photographs are on 94WISB.com/Danny right now. But we're going to have to edit the bejesus out of the part where I play the bass.
Why is that?
Why is that?
Because I didn't tell Cassidy, but I got an Austin Powers outsuit, which is red velvet with frilly lace and stuff like that, and one of the frilly.
So you look like you did back when you were on the Partridge Family.
Except it's a costume from it was like $12, and it's not real velvet, and it's not really lined, and it was safety pinned in the back and stuff. But I come out, and there must be close to 8 minutes of silence. David looks at me, and I can tell he wants to say something to me, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking furious because my joke is going to be, you said this was a Partridge Family reunion that everybody would be dressed like this. So I'm furious. I'm staring at David like, if he didn't know I was kidding, he'd have been scared, I think. He's a little dude. And I'm like staring at him like, what? What? And I actually said that to the keyboard player as I walked by. He's cracking up because I didn't tell anybody. In the back, as I walked by, the keyboard cracks up and I stopped. I'm still in the darkness. And I turned to him and I go, what? And he goes, nothing, man. I walk on the stage and I stare at David. I'm waiting for my joke. You said to be dressed like this. And David looks like he wants to talk. I swear this 4 minutes goes by where he's trying to talk and then he just keeps going and turns away from the microphone and starts. And then he puts up his finger like, I'm not supposed to talk yet. And I'm going, hey, I can save us from this death of you not being able to speak, dude. And then finally he goes, after all that, he goes, nice outfit. And then falls on the floor like he's in hysterics that I went to the bother to do this.
So is that the first time that you've obviously put on the red velvet since then,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure, man. Absolutely. Of course. If I could find a dime to do it, I'd do it again. But don't get me confused with anybody with integrity. But I came out there and I did it. But I thought, because I knew NBC that was there, that it would make good photographs because I didn't put a shirt on under it. I had the vest and the jacket with the frillies and the frilly thing over my neck. But the frilly thing over my neck is just on like a rubber band. It's not a shirt. It's just a frilly thing.
Okay.
So when I took off the jacket during his talking parts, because he talks in the middle of a song, it's like one of the worst songs, really. He goes, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I wake up each morning and I end each night. It takes forever, right? And sometimes he really gets into it and starts talking. So at that point, I take off the bass, I set it down, I take off the jacket and expose all the tats on my arm. And then I go up right next to him and I lean back to him. We play the rest of the song. I thought that'd make some neat photographs for NBC. Do you know what? The song was really simple. I don't know why David tried to make me so scared. It's G-C-A-G, and that's kind of it, pretty much. And then a C-C-D-D. That's it. I got it. And I don't know why those letters are called those letters. I just remember where my fingers go. And it was pretty easy. You know what's hard to do?
What's that?
Look as cool as I thought guitarists and bass players looked. Like, since I had the song so down, I was trying to do the strutting around thing and look really cool.
Yep.
I don't look that cool. I look like a guy who's really trying hard to look cool. I got the bass and I'm going, I'm lifting it way up and I just look ridiculous, man. Lift it way up, so then I'm putting it way down and I'm trying to do the Chuck Berry thing like this across the, just, it's like, hey, 50-year-old dude, why don't you stop doing that in your red velvet suit? You look ridiculous. But the part where we're singing the very end of the song back-to-back with all the tats showing, that was really good. And anybody who showed up last night when there was a Phil's game on or any other time, I really do appreciate it. Speaking of, one of my biggest supporters, and I mean that in a big way, my friend Ray. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I was actually impressed with you guys. I'm not a big David Cassidy fan, but he actually is very good guitar player.
No, David is really a talented guy. He put on a great show. About 20 minutes of it I didn't really see the necessity for. There's a bunch of songs and stuff I didn't recognize. But aside from that, the last things I want to hear from David Cassidy or the Knack are, here's some of our new stuff. But aside from that, I thought he put on a good show, and did I, or just like I told you, did I not have that bass totally down?
You did.
I was
actually surprised that you went that far out and actually learned it.
I appreciate that. But
wait, let me ask Ray. So Ray, did he try doing the Chuck Berry and stuff? Did he pull that off?
Yeah. He didn't pull it off.
No. I saw the tape.
But he didn't pull it off.
I saw the tape this morning, and I'm breaking my heart. I thought I looked super cool till I saw the tape this morning. I thought there's an automatic thing. You put on the guitar and you actually plug it in this time. You're officially cool. I was wrong. Okay, I just want you to know I'm aware of that. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for always coming out and showing your support. One more call. Jim from Phoenixville.
What's up, Danny? Thanks a lot for that show. I had a great time. It was my wife and I. It was our anniversary, our 12th anniversary.
Oh, cool. And I can't think of a better way to spend it than hanging out with David Cassidy.
Yeah, we were laughing about that all night. But there were so many MILFs there. It was unbelievable.
If you are into MILFs, boys and girls, I would say you followed David Cassidy around like he's the Grateful Dead. Because it is like you've died and gone. You know where they say, like, certain people, if you die, you go to heaven, you get 77 versions?
Yep.
If you die at a David Cassidy concert, you get 600 MILFs. It's a way better religion. Thank you very much, Jim. I really do appreciate that. It was a good time, but I'm very glad it's over and that we can get back to doing a real live show. Or whatever it is this thing's called. It's 7:23. Here's your CBS The Eyewitness weather. Sunny and warm today in Philadelphia. High of 73 degrees. Let's check out the traffic on this lovely day with my buddy Bob Kelly.
Hey, everybody.